sports, and what about the army as well?
Jeremy Vine, sweet music and news on BBC Radio 2. Oh, yeah.
Well, there are gloomy predictions for the UK economy today as the latest official figures show negative growth, a contraction in other words. Our GDP has shrunk by 0.2%, and if this figure is not revised and there's another contraction in this quarter, our worst fears of a double dip recession will have become a reality. The economists tell us time and again we must have growth to get out of this thing. But perhaps if we look to the east, we can see a way to carry on without it. Japanese anthem, the world's third largest economy, where growth has remained pretty much unchanged since the early 1990s. A country where crime is low, literacy is high, unemployment is an enviable 4.5%, and actually life expectancy is better than almost anywhere else on earth. Many economists see Japan as a basket case. Even today, they wring their hands over the country's worsening trade deficit. And yet what Japan proves is that for well over a decade, one of the world's most important economies hasn't grown, and at the end of all that, it's still a great place to live. This has led some to argue that Japan is not such a failure after all. Perhaps they say it's just ahead of its time, not stagnating, but settling into the plateau of enough. Perhaps you remember how back in the 2008 recession, everyone said we must not end up flatlining like Japan, but as we wince at the prospect of another UK recession, could Japan's example of zero growth be something we should jump to follow? Let's speak to Jeremy Williams, who's co-founder of the Post Growth Institute, is in Luton, and Sam Bowman from the Adam Smith Institute of Westminster joins us as well. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
So, Jeremy Williams, first of all, why would Japan be anything that we would want to follow?
Well, we'd have to be very careful about how we did that, for sure. You can't just suddenly stop growing and hope for the best. You'd need a deliberate transition, if at all possible. But what Japan proves is that growth doesn't have to be absolutely necessary. It is possible to deliver very high quality of life to your citizens without actually growing.
But they do have massive debt, don't they? So their lack of growth has stopped them paying off the debt.
Yes, that is a problem, and you certainly can't sort of look to Japan in a sort of idealistic kind of way. Also, of course, with Japan, it's not an intentional experiment. They've tried very hard to encourage growth again. So it's almost that they've proved to be a post-growth economy by accident, and we could certainly hope to do better than that.
And a post-growth economy is one in which people start to make do with less, do they? Is that the fundamental principle here?
Partly, yes, but first and foremost, you're trying to create a society which isn't pursuing growth at all costs. We very much sort of almost fetishize growth, where you have to have it in the hope that it will lift people out of poverty, that it will deliver rising incomes, and it might not necessarily do either of those things. And so in a post-growth economy, you'd be looking very much at qualitative ways of measuring progress. Are people living good lives? Are they healthy? Are they well educated? Are they participating in art and culture? What's the state of our democracy and our press and all of those things? Those become the priorities. And you may grow, you may not, but those are the most important things, first and foremost.
Sam Bowman, anything to recommend that, trying to get away from growth?
No, frankly, and it's difficult to know where to start. This idea that Japan is a model for the rest of us really doesn't go below the surface. If you look at Japan's employment figures, those figures are inflated by the fact that a lot of people, particularly young people, end up working part-time jobs that are very insecure. You have people coming out of university with very good degrees ending up having to take jobs in the fast food industry because there's nothing there for them. And they have a word for it in Japan. They call it the lost generation. And in Japan, there is an entire generation of young people who've graduated from university and graduated from school, can't get jobs. They're either leaving Japan or they're staying there at very, very low social esteem levels. They even have a word for that. It's hikikomori. In Japan, there is a word for the young men who stay inside their rooms, who stay in their houses and don't go out because they're so ashamed of the fact that they failed to achieve something. And I think that really goes to the root of it, because society and humanity and life is about progress. It's about pushing forward and about flourishing and about being a better person.
But if we look at our moments when our economy has grown in a dramatic way, and the late 80s under Mrs. Thatcher was one, and then, of course, the 2000s under Mr. Blair and Mr. Brown, there was a
downside even while we were growing, wasn't there? So, for example, number one, you get a property bubble. People spend on credit. They go on holiday on their credit card. Everyone has a car. Everyone's in a jam. Everyone's busy. Everyone's stressed. We had lots of items on this show about discourtesy, and I look back and I think maybe that's just what happens in a boom.
Oh, no doubt. There's definitely a downside to every boom, especially when it's a credit-fueled boom. The credit bubble that we've had in the last 10 years has really been ruinous, and that really requires some serious changes to our monetary policies. But that's almost a separate issue, I would say. It's very, very important to remember that economic growth is what it's really about. It's not about numbers on a page, and in the end, it's not really about the Office for National Statistics. It's about better schools, better healthcare, arts and culture getting more money, people having more time to spend with their children, people living for longer. These are things that really matter to people.
Okay.
And it's opportunity that's important.
Let me just put that to Jeremy. But Jeremy, it's all very well talking about post-growth and low growth and lots to recommend it, but you create the hikikomori as Sam was saying, that you could create youngsters. We've got them in this country now, haven't we? Who just don't leave home because there is no job to go to.
Well, it's true that Japan does have a youth unemployment problem, much as we do. But I think the question is eternal growth even possible to aim for in the first place? And if it's not, then we want to look at why we're pursuing it so aggressively. And it's interesting that Adam Smith himself seemed to imply that growth forever was not actually necessary. He used this lovely little phrase of a country acquiring its full complement of riches. And at that point, you'd be able to move away from the economic problem, as Keynes put it. He had the same views in that sense. And look at more at society and how society flourishes. And so if you've got a youth unemployment problem, perhaps the key thing is not necessarily growth, but extending opportunities, looking at the distribution of wealth across generations and across regions. There's all sorts of things you can do other than growth. And the problem is that growth, because people get fixated on it, it's almost a way of fobbing people off. So, for instance, in this country, the economy is five times bigger than it was 20 years ago, but the number of people living in poverty is actually more or less the same.
What about that, Sam, as a point? And it's a good one, isn't it? Again, on this show, we've had people on 20-something saying the whole country has been looted by the generation who are over 60. And what the key to sorting things out is that the people who are over 60 in this country need to start passing their wealth down to the 20-somethings.
I don't think it's a question of passing wealth around. It's about opportunity. It's about opening up the labour market and opening up the economy to people to create jobs and to create wealth. But
houses are a classic example, aren't they? We've got a situation where people bought houses at a quarter of the price they're at now, and they will not leave them, and they're rattling around in them. And we've had people on, like I say, in their 20s, who say these houses must be forcibly redistributed.
Right, and I mean, the answer there, it would seem to me, is to build more houses. And we have one of the strictest planning regimes in the world, which makes it very, very difficult for new houses to be built. That's another government problem. But looking around the world, it's also a mistake, I think, to just focus on one country. If we look around the world, the poverty rate has been halved in the last 20 years. The number of people who've been lifted out of poverty by free market capitalism has been greater in the last 50 years than it was in the previous 500 years. We're doing something right, and the answer isn't to try and freeze things. The answer isn't to say, well, here we are, that's enough. Because there are probably quite a lot of people listening who don't think that's enough, who think that they want to improve their lives and they want to improve their children's lives. And the way to do that is by growing and by innovating and by approaching things in new ways, not by freezing things and saying, well, I have it well, so everybody else should be happy with what they've got as well.
And I presume, Sam, a key thing for you as well is that we did hit this mark yesterday about £1 trillion of national debt. And if you have no growth, you can't get rid of that, and you wouldn't want that to just sit there forever.
Well, absolutely. And debt in the end is something that children have to pay off, and the next generations are going to have to pay off. And I would hate to pass on this much debt that we are going to be passing on, as well as a stagnant economy, to a lost generation, which is what they have in Japan, and which the no growth people, I'm afraid, are going to have to admit that's what they want. They're calling for a lost generation. Everybody else should be very afraid if that's the idea that's gaining currency. I don't think it is. I think innovation, I think progress is still going to win the day, and I certainly hope it will.
Jeremy, if you have no growth or low growth, you end up saddling the 20-somethings and even babies who've just been born with paying off this £1 trillion debt.
Well, this is partly true, but the point is that the problem is debt, and basically what we seem to have done is create a system where we have to keep growing because we have to keep repaying the debts. And if you were, as I say, just to stop growing and hope for the best, you would very quickly be overtaken by your debt repayments. The problem is if you're pursuing growth at all costs, you're actually taking on more debt. So all you're doing is prolonging that problem into the future. If you want to create a post-growth economy, you do have to deal with that debt problem and get that out of the way. What I find difficult is that day in and day out, you're being told by politicians, we need growth to create jobs, we need growth to create opportunities and to raise incomes. But they don't say we need growth necessarily because we need the debt repayments. It's almost like you're constantly being dangled this carrot in front of you, that you don't have the opportunities now as a young person, but just wait until we grow a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And that just extends endlessly into the future, that you're almost fobbing people off with the promise of growth. You know, people aren't poor in this country because the economy isn't big enough. They're poor in this country because they don't have access to the money that we have and to the wealth that we have. They've somehow been excluded. And to say that, you know, we'll grow and then we'll sort it out, it's something that you can say every year forever. You know, at what point do we draw a line under that and say, actually, no, let's deal with this debt, let's create new ways to create money that don't rely on interest so that we don't keep demanding more from the economy than we've put in the first place.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeremy Williams, co-founder of the Post Growth Institute, and Sam Bowman from the Adam Smith Institute, disagreeing on whether we can congratulate ourselves on low growth or no growth. Is there anything to recommend it? The fact that the economy is contracting, less stress, less traffic jams, less going on?